Welcome, everyone. I'm Dale Coulis, and you're tuning into the Friday edition of the Berkshire Hathaway podcast. And today we have on realty expert Ben Olson, and he will be talking with us today right after this.
What would tomorrow look like if you sold your house today? Maybe you'd move to a new city or a new country. Maybe you'd pick up birding or birdies. You could get into wine, not that into wine, or skiing. Warmer skiing. Or maybe you'd spend more time doing nothing at all. When you're ready for whatever comes next, we'll be ready to help you get there. Berkshire Hathaway Home Services. What would tomorrow
be? All right, welcome back, everyone. We are here today with realty expert Ben Olson. Happy Friday.
Happy Friday. Today's the day.
Yes, yes.
I've been waiting for this day all week.
Yes, yep. Same. A little bit of a yucky weather to kind of wind it down with, but we got through it.
I saw a few flakes of the white stuff. I'm not going to say the name.
Yes, yes.
But it is coming down, I heard.
Yeah, I know. I'm doing the forecast a little bit. There's part of me, I'm like, this morning and yesterday morning, I was like, what am I going to wake up to? But thankfully, nothing bad.
Well, it officially means that summer, I think, is over. I think that's what it means. I think that we are officially in the new season of winter.
Yes.
But that doesn't mean that things are cooling off real estate wise, which is kind of crazy. You know, things have been pretty busy this year still.
Yeah, especially with, today, is especially getting into commercial real estate.
Right, yep. So one thing that we do at Berkshire Hathaway is we don't just do residential, we also do commercial real estate. So that involves a lot of different aspects, obviously, most notably, like, commercial sales and commercial leasing, obviously. So, you know, if you're buying and selling commercial buildings, obviously, we're in a mall right now. This is a commercial space. You know, obviously, you go to Starbucks, it's a commercial building, things like that. And then also commercial leasing. So when people need to lease a space for their business instead of buying something, we also handle those as well. And there's a few different ways that people can get into commercial real estate in general if they want to. And there's some pretty easy steps to do it.
So, like, what are the types of ways that people who are, you know, interested or inquiring about trying to take the jump going into real estate commercial-wise, how to purchase?
Well, some people, yeah. So basically, the situation is that normally some people get to their point in their life where they say, you know, they have a, let's say, $100,000 or a nice, really nice house. Let's say they have a $400,000 house, right? And they don't really need a nicer house. They don't really need a better house, but they want to put their money in something other than just a stock market or a savings account. A great investment vehicle is buying a commercial property and either leasing it out to somebody or whatever you're going to do with it, run a business out of it, whatever basically you can use with it. But basically just making an investment instead of doing residential, doing more commercial. So in commercial involves like any type of standalone commercial buildings that you see, retail stores, you know, businesses, restaurants. Obviously, everyone kind of knows what those type of commercial buildings are. But then there's also mixed use. So businesses that are on the bottom or in some type of occupancy in the building and then having residential units in the same building.
Oh, yeah. Right, we see that a lot downtown.
For downtown is a great example where you have a lot of businesses and apartments above. And then you also have the category of multifamily. So there's multifamily units that you can buy anywhere from, you know, two units all the way up to, you know, hundreds. I mean, there's some complexes in Grand Forks that have hundreds of units. And so when you look at, you know, the different type of commercial real estate investing that you can do, there's really options for people all the way down from, you know, $100,000, $50,000, all the way up to, of course, millions of dollars. But, you know, it just, there's so many different type of properties that people can invest in. The other great thing that people can do too is that in some lease situations, let's say you lease a property and let's say you want to do a lease for like 10 years, sometimes you're able to even sublease and then make money off of that. So it's pretty interesting to see, you know, the different ways you can make money on real estate, especially commercial.
So, like, yeah, so it's not just people thinking like, oh, you know, I only have so much of an income, I can't afford to go into commercial real estate. There are, like you mentioned, a wide range of options ranging from like small risk to you know, the bigger options as well.
Right. And you'd be surprised what you can afford. Obviously with commercial, it's not residential, so you're going to end up putting more money down, sometimes anywhere from 10 to 20% down. And then of course, you know, you're going to have certain loan restrictions and things like that. But at the same time, once you do get into the commercial business and you do kind of look at, you know, how you can really capitalize off of owning a rental property and leasing it out to other businesses, for example. Obviously, you know, we're in the Grand Cities Mall. They have a bunch of different units here. The mall operates as a business, but then other businesses benefit because they get a space that's able for them to be leased out. and then they're able to operate their businesses. So, you know, there's so many opportunities for owning commercial space. And it's not just, you know, being a landlord. It's also being a community member and being involved, I think, is really important. So, you know, kind of determining what type is really important. The other important part people always ask about is financing.
Yeah, how would people go about financing for commercial?
So financing, you go to a mortgage banker just like you would for residential, but you go to a commercial lender, basically. So there's many commercial lenders in town that I work with that, of course, I could point people to. But the biggest thing that people have to remember is that, you know, they can use money from a lot of different places to be able to buy this commercial property. So let's say that you already own a home, right, and you have some equity in that home. You could borrow from your home to be able to buy that commercial property or that investment property. And then you're able to, you know, basically operate both properties and use one for commercial use instead of basically getting a different home or something like that. So that's one really easy way to finance. Another easy way to finance would be to look at what type of business is going in there and then seeing what type of loan you could get from either the city or the state or anything, any type of government loan that helps you do like a startup loan for a business. So let's say you've always had a dream of starting a business and it makes the most sense for you to own your own building, which in a lot of cases it does. You could possibly use that business plan to help you apply for a loan that would help you get the space that you want instead of leasing it, right? I mean, let's say that you're going to open a restaurant and your lease price in some places would be like $3,000-$4,000 a month just to lease a restaurant, which is very expensive.
Yeah, adds up.
Instead of doing that, maybe it's just better just to buy a building or to find a building that you can renovate and buy it and make it your own for that same amount per month.
And I want to say too, like you hear about cities or various towns like having a shortage on certain types of businesses, like you mentioned restaurants or other types of commercial needs. And sometimes cities will go out of their way to give special incentives too for various to help kind of nudge people to make that investment into various branches of commercial real estate.
And I always tell my commercial clients, go, if you're going to buy a commercial property, go to the city. And if you're making improvements, ask for tax abatements, ask for anything you can. And when you do these projects and say, hey, look, I'm putting in money to this project and I want a tax abatement, because it's very common for a commercial for that to happen. So I tell people, go to the city, go ask them. I mean, you may be surprised what they want to do.
Now, for the uninitiated, tax abatement, is that like a form of like a tax break or just like a temporary, not as much taxes being applied?
Basically, yeah. Basically, they don't pay as many taxes on the improvements that they make on the property. So let's say that they paint the building, for example, and that costs them $20,000, right? They don't pay taxes on that $20,000 that their building would be, you know, taxed at basically, and which I think makes sense in a lot of ways because you want to keep business owners incentivized to keep revamping their buildings and making them look nice. You also want to make sure that you, you know, like basically have a good cycle of businesses selling and like a good healthy commercial market. Luckily here in Grand Forks, we do have a really healthy commercial market. So it's nice for financing that there are comps, there are comparables, things do sell. So things are recorded on the county level. We can see those recordings. It's really nice that it's all there for people to actually use. So we actually have a pretty healthy commercial market, which does help with financing. But yeah, I would look at your home equity. I would look at anything that you can put down. But again, if you're buying even a $100,000 commercial property, it's $10,000 down,
mm-hmm. Yeah.
For 10%, which isn't that much in the grand scheme of things.
Yeah, when you factor in all the business that you'll be bringing in the long term,
rent that you could get off of a building that's even $100,000. I mean, you got to think about $100,000 building could probably bring in $1,000 a month in rent. Well, if your payments around there, I mean, you're breaking even, but you're building equity in something that you wouldn't be doing before. And it's a relatively lower risk than buying like $1 million building, right? I mean, $100,000 building is different than even buying a $500,000 building. So there's a lot of different options. We also at Berkshire Hathaway have like things like very new things like shop condos, right? I mean, shops that are like 2,000 square feet and then you can condo them out and then basically be able to own one unit in the association, right? That's something that's like unique that somebody can...
Maybe do like a home office or something like
basically
that.
Basically, home office, man cave, garage condo, or let's say you own a business. It's mm-hmm. perfect just to be able to show up, all the lawn care's done, all the snow removal's done. You know, you just operate and deal with your, you know, and just open your business, which is really convenient for people.
Yeah, gosh, yeah, that's a great, yeah, some great examples right there. So, yeah, a lot of great ways to going over for how to finance and the types of commercial real estate available there. Now, what would be like the best way to determine, kind of went into a little bit here, the best use for the property?
Yeah, so, I mean, in real estate, we always want to help encourage the highest and best use. I mean, obviously, look at what happened to the Kmart building here, right? The Kmart building sold because it just wasn't need for 90,000 square foot of real retail space in one store. So they divided it into different units and storage units. So it really made sense for them to do that. And that's kind of what we hope for as real estate agents, especially in commercial, that, you know, when a building does sell, it can become the highest and best use that it can be. Even when you look at buildings that come down and are replaced, I mean, we look at the Travel Lodge that was replaced by the Listen Center.
Oh, right.
I mean, it's just little things like that are good. And then there's some sad things, like obviously like Lions Auto
Cornerstone of downtown
for over 100 years. You know, unfortunately, that was demolished. But then, of course, it's being made way for brand new building, you know, and I think that that's important, too, that you have to be able to put in, you know, those residential units with modern plumbing, modern everything. So it's interesting to see how that kind of mixes in and takes place, but that's what I'm saying is that there's so many different options for people. I think like downtown is a great investment area. I think if anyone's thinking about doing anything, like downtown is a great area. Midtown too. Midtown, Grand Forks, anything Washington Street is still going to be a big deal. There's frontage roads, there's traffic lights, it's easy in, easy out. I mean, look at this location here at the mall. It's a great location.
Yeah.
So I think that all that matters. And so along with number three is, you know, if you see a building that is not even for sale, but you've been thinking about, you know, maybe I'm interested in it, we can always contact that owner on your behalf and see if they'd be interested in selling.
Now, do you find people contacting you just curious to see the options available for like potential new buildings for commercial real estate, and just a quick call and you give them the information, all of a sudden they're like, wow, this is not as intimidating as I thought. And before you know it, they're a new client.
Yeah, you never know. I mean, you never know what people's goals are. The biggest thing is what your goals are, you know, and the nice thing is that you can always determine how long do you want to hold this building, right? Part of the best use is I one of the good business owners I used to work for owned Whitey's, and he said that he had originally planned to have it for 5 years and he had it for 7.5, and that was his goal. Like, his goal was to revamp it and make it what it was, and, you know, and then eventually sell it. And that's what he ended up doing. And I think that if people have more of that mindset where I'm going to go in, I'm going to make it a good investment for 5 to 10 years, then I'm going to sell it or whatever. And if you end up selling it and making money, great. I mean, that's really the whole goal. But it doesn't have to be a forever thing. You don't have to be committed to a commercial property as you are with your mortgage, for example, where you live. So that's the other nice thing is that with these commercial properties, when you do sell them, you can do what's called a 1031 exchange, which means you can exchange that equity and put it into a new property without having to pay taxes on those gains.
Oh, wow.
So let's say you did buy a commercial property and you improved it by, let's say, 100%. Let's say you turned a $100,000 building to a $200,000 building by putting in equity and whatever. You can take that profit that you see off of that and move it right to a new property without having to pay taxes on it. So there's a lot of benefits to owning commercial real estate that you can basically just take advantage of and use to your advantage. And many people too, they'll buy a commercial property, and when their kids are old enough and going to school, they'll just sell the property and that'll be their school money. Or they'll buy a multifamily property and then their kids will either live in it, or they'll live in it one day, or you'll live in it because maybe you don't need that big house anymore and you move just one side of your duplex. You know, there's a lot of ways that you can manipulate it to make it work out in your favor and just have options.
Yeah, I think that's just great too, just mentioning like how if a nice way to reward business owners for having a game plan and successfully running a successful business for several years, selling it, and hey, let's reward you for running a good business to moving on to bigger and better commercial real estate opportunities.
Yeah, and that's what business owners end up doing a lot of the time, is that they take their money and they 1031 exchange it, and then they do more business. I mean, that's the other nice thing is, once you kind of start in the commercial property business, you can really kind of grow from there, because it's a great base to kind of start anything, any type of business, anything you want, depending on location and obviously your business model. But that's really the first step, is finding location. Obviously, the location matters. Businesses need a location. Even if you work from home, eventually working from home doesn't work. I mean, eventually you need a place where you can actually spread out and have your own space.
Absolutely. Now, as we wind down here, Ben, I think in case people missed the Wednesday Berkshire Hathaway podcast, I think we wanted to give a refresh on upcoming Halloween events. Yes. For Berkshire Hathaway.
Yep. So we've got our pumpkin patch right now outside of Berkshire Hathaway, right in front of 1725 32nd Avenue South. That one is across from Hugo's on 32nd, our building, and you can go and pick up a pumpkin. They're all sitting there. You don't have to go to the pumpkin patch. They're all free. And then we also have Trunk or Treat that's going to be from 3 o'clock to 5:30 on the 31st. So that's going to be in our parking lot. come by with your Halloween costumes. We'll have plenty of candy, hot cocoa, and yeah, it's gonna be a great event. We'll have a lot of other vendors there too, so it won't just be Berkshire Hathaway. It'll be a bunch of other businesses in town who are gonna be trunk or treating there too with costumes and candy. So
yeah, can't go wrong with that. If I remember, I want to say, I think Caitlin last week was saying you guys are gonna be part of the Grand Cities Mall. I think trick or treat event also on the 29th.
Yes, mm-hmm. Yep, we do that as well every year too. So yep, we'll be here for that, and we look forward to being here for that too.
Awesome. Yeah, all kinds of great Halloween activities you guys will be involved with here.
Yeah, especially with the cold weather. It's yes. time. It's time to yes. think about going indoors just for now.
Absolutely. So big weekend plans ahead here?
Nothing crazy. Just try to stay warm, I guess. Yes. Turn the heaters on, dust them out.
Yep, that's what I've been doing the last few days.
Yeah, that's all you can do.
Well, before we wrap up with you today, Ben Olson, what's the best way for everyone to reach out and contact you?
701-318-2676, or you can reach me at my website, BenOlsonRealEstate.com.
All right, there you go. That's a wrap to your Friday edition of the Berkshire Hathaway Podcast. Many thanks to Ben Olson for joining us today, and many thanks to producer Paul. We will be back with the next Berkshire Hathaway Podcast Wednesday morning at 10. Until then, have an amazing weekend, and goodbye for now.